Donny Hathaway's Someday We'll All Be Free. You know, years ago, I mean decades now, I would visit Colorado and then had the chance to live here and thought, man, if I could ski in Colorado, and then I encountered the summers, I mean, it's paradise.
Well, when you came, you could, right?
But the price of skiing has steadily gone up, and I find myself on the slopes less and less. That's just a shame. Yeah. Looking into the cost of skiing and some of its effects on society, Mary McCarthy, reporter, and doing this story for Rocky Mountain PBS. Good morning again, Mary.
Good morning. There's a lot of orange and blue here in the studio this morning. It's a bit jarring this early.
Have you noticed?
And she's got yellow and black on. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Well,
this is actually a shirt from Ferguson Brewing Company from my reporting in Ferguson
Are the Steeler colors.
Sorry, yeah, that wasn't done on purpose.
In the spirit of peace and reconciliation, we welcome you to the studio.
Yes, but part of the sports spirit in Colorado, it's a sports state for sure, and skiing is a big part of that.
Yeah,
but I did notice that, you know, a lot of middle-class people, people I grew up with, they just don't ski, especially when they have kids. When you go and look at the prices, it's no surprise. The walk-up lift ticket price at Vail, Winter Park, all of the big resorts, it's well over $100. And I mean, who can afford that when you factor in the rest of the costs that go along with it? And the sad thing is for kids who grew up in Denver, you know, this is a place that people come from all over the world to ski.
Yep.
Not just at Aspen and Telluride, but a lot of the other resorts. And the kids growing up here aren't necessarily getting access to that. So I actually got to go out and hit the slopes with some of the kids from your neighborhood right here in Five Points.
Really?
Yeah. So a group from Gilpin Montessori. Right around the corner. That's right. They got the chance to go ski, a group of fifth graders with a group led by the Chris Anthony Youth Initiative. He's a pro skier based up in Vail, and he does a lot of programs to get kids who wouldn't otherwise get the chance to get them out there. And the sort of the sad thing about the day, it was wonderful to see them out skiing. They got a lesson from Chris. They got all the gear provided.
Oh, yeah.
But 25 out of the 27 of them had never skied, and a lot of them hadn't been to the mountains.
First time, hadn't been to the mountains.
Right. So let's take a listen to Chris and a little bit of what he had to say on that day.
It makes me sad that they live in the state of Colorado and they have not been up here. I think that this should have access for every single kid. We got 27 kids out here today. We should be able to do that for every school.
A big vision to, you know, a renewed effort to get Colorado's kids skiing, and lots of kids skiing from across the income spectrum.
Right. And when I was reporting on this, what a lot of people said to me, including people from the industry, is that, you know, it's sort of a country club sport. Not everyone golfs. You know, everybody doesn't have access to everything. Sure. But the interesting thing is that most of these ski resorts, 22 out of our 40 ski resorts in Colorado, that's national forest land. That's public land. And the first person who first pointed that out to me is someone who's a real figurehead in this world in Colorado, a guy named Roberto Moreno. And at one time, he was the only professional Latino ski patroller in Colorado. He spent many years running nonprofit programs to get kids from minority and low-income families onto the slopes. He's been really outspoken about this for decades, pointing out that the ski resorts are indeed on public land, and maybe we could get some policy issues to address this. Let's listen to Roberto.
What the ski industry fails to understand is that most of the big ski areas in the Southwest United States operate on U.S. forest permits. And each one of those forest permits has a fundamental obligation to its equal opportunity clauses in those contracts to provide open access to all Americans. Snow sports and all mountain recreation should not just be the exclusive purview of wealthy Americans.
So Roberto's take on it is that, you know, bringing kids up there, that it was increasingly closed off to people who don't have a lot of money. It's become a playground for the rich and famous, and that's a shame.
Well, I guess they say you can, you know, the mountains are supposed to be open, so they can't actually close off the mountain. So you can have access to it if you want to climb it, I guess. But you have to pay for the lift ticket.
That's right.
And you have to pay a lot.
That's exactly what the Forest Service told me. They said that, you know, as part of their public access attitude or policy, you know, you can go up. But that's actually kind of dangerous unless you're a really experienced skier. It costs a lot of money. You have to have the gear to do that. So it's not something that, say, kids from Gilpin Montessori or someone like me who's very much a novice.
Wow.
I'm not going to be out there climbing up the hills.
Okay. So let me get a picture here. So let me get this straight. You legally could, if there was a way up,
The mountain is open.
You could go up the mountain and then come down.
The mountain's open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But and people do it. It's a sport. It's a great workout, apparently,
for the
hardcore skiers here. Right. But again, it's pretty disingenuous on the part of the Forest Service to be saying that that's how we're promoting public access. And just by way of comparison, you know, the reason I sort of felt inspired to look into this was, or one of the reasons was, you know, I lived in France for a long time where, you know, you can get a lift ticket for under $20.
You're skiing Grenoble and all those other places.
Right, right. And you can have a week of lessons for $100.
Wow.
You know, I signed my daughter up for her first ski lesson this weekend
at
Winter Park's not the most expensive.
Yeah.
For one day, for a 6-hour lesson, $220.
One of the things one of the things you mentioned is that they're not all super expensive resorts. There are a lot of what we call front range skiing, and that may be a way to get into it.
Well, right. They're much smaller resorts, Loveland, Eldora, Ski Cooper. Yeah. You probably know them better than I do. And they're not cheap, but it is significantly cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just stick to Ruby Hill. Give me a board.
You and your sled, your plastic
go down
bag.
Ruby Hill. could afford that.
Mary McCarthy, this story also on the Rocky Mountain PBS website. You can see it on Colorado State of Mind from last Friday's broadcast. Great report. Thank you for digging into this.
That's right. Thanks so much, guys.